You're listening to Big Tom and Roach, a different type of morning show, only on the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I just kept hearing it. I'm ducking and everything. God, in the house, I stayed. I dropped my hot pocket.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I wouldn't be so hostile if you had 1 ounce of talent.
Sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
Good morning, folks. It's a nice day in California.
Here's Big Tom and Roach.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
We are Big Tom and Roach.
We are Big Tom and Roach.
Like, who are we again? We always do that. We get into this crazy conversation right leading up into the show start. And then we're like, okay, now what do we do? Because we were already talking.
Yeah, and our brains are going, what did he just say?
How do we start talking when we're already talking?
Totals.
I got in trouble over the weekend. I forgot to mention it on Monday and Tuesday.
What'd you do?
I got in a little bit of trouble. So I'm, Saturdays, Sundays, Monday. I guess Monday was when I actually got in trouble. So it wasn't over the weekend. It was Monday. Okay. So the kids came over for a couple hours on Monday. And then they went back with mama, right?
Yeah.
I get a phone call shortly around dinner time. From a very unhappy former marital partner of mine.
Uh-oh.
And she said, did you give Tommy waffles for lunch and then let him have a Klondike bar and soda? And it was one of those moments where I was like, okay, I've already lost. There is no way out of this. And so I just completely, I was like, you're right. I totally messed up. I go, this is, yes, I did.
Oh,
I totally messed up.
God.
This is on me. And who really messed up? Who really messed up? The little jackass running around, bouncing off the walls, acting like a lunatic crackhead. He's the one that messed up because now he doesn't get to eat like that when he comes to daddy's house anymore.
Well, would you want him to lie?
I don't want him to lie.
Yeah, but if he's bouncing off the walls, she's going to be like, what is wrong with you today? She's going to eventually go, so what'd you have for lunch?
She said, just so you know, it was so bad, I almost made him walk home. She's like, I almost pulled over, made him walk home.
Oh, no.
Now, I know the point was to teach me a lesson, but if I'm being totally honest, there's a little bit of me that enjoyed it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just picturing him running around like, do you remember the old Beavis and Butthead when Beavis had too much caffeine? He's like, totally. I need TP for my bunghole. I can just picture Tom doing that.
So I just want to remind you, are not the grandpa.
Oh, I know
the dad.
I know that.
I'm just kidding.
I have a responsibility. You know, and I agree.
But sometimes it's like one of those. I get it. It's one of those days.
Well, what happened, his grandpa's in town, and his grandpa makes grilled cheese sandwiches, and I make grilled cheese sandwiches, and he loves them both, but he gets my grilled cheese sandwiches all the time. And his mom told him before he came to my place, you can't have a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch because grandpa's going to make you grilled cheese sandwich for dinner. And he, with that information in mind, starts doing his little brainstorming on his car ride from Santa Paula. Okay, beep, boop, 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 boop. He gets into the apartment. He's like, and this is like an hour and a half before lunch. He's like, Dad, hey, Dad, Mom said I can't have a grilled cheese, so can I have a waffle for lunch? And I was like, why can't you have a grilled cheese? And so I'm focused on you can't have a grilled cheese, not the waffle part. Right?
Yeah.
He's like, why can't you have grilled cheese? He says, well, because she doesn't want me to have two grilled cheese because I'm going to have one. Grandpa's going to make one later. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, we could do waffle without thinking about it. I'm like, you're going to eat sausage because you got to have something healthy.
You got to put some like
protein.
Goat. What is it? The yogurt. What is it called?
Oh, yeah. He gets a go-gurt. He has a go-gurt like with his lunch.
Put it. Yeah. It's just some protein.
Yeah.
I like to put cottage cheese in my waffle.
Ew.
Yeah, it goes in like all the little squares, and then you drizzle it with syrup. It's so good.
I got a I actually have my sister got Tommy a waffle maker that's a Baby Yoda waffle maker. So it makes the Baby Yoda
that's
shape.
That's right.
And so I made Maddie a grilled, not a grilled cheese sandwich, but a peanut butter sandwich with toasted bread on it.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't eat it because she like thought it looked pretty. So now she's just got like this sandwich that's rotting in her bedroom.
Oh,
probably.
No, because it looks pretty.
Yeah.
My girl.
Yeah, so I ended up getting a little bit of trouble, and he's going to be missing out and not getting quite as much sweets in the future.
Bummer.
From Daddy. And the funny part is I remember him asking after the freaking Klondike bar. He's like, Dad, can I have a candy bar? And I was like, dude, no, of course you can't.
Oh, he did it anyway?
No, but he kept asking for more stuff after that. And I was like, no, dude, no. And he wasn't that hyper when he left. I mean, we were playing football in the living room and stuff.
He's probably going to have a growth spurt. He was just hungry. He was looking for something to eat.
I think so. He's going to be a giant. He's going to be big like me.
Yeah.
So if he can continue his growth in the sport of hockey and be my size, he's going to make some money.
Yeah.
He's going to make some cash.
In it to win it.
Yeah. Those big dudes can wreak havoc.
I'm sorry. Can you remind me what day it is today?
It's Wednesday.
Ah, Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
What's happening today? Oh, yeah. I'm going to do my taxes.
Yeah, you're taxing. You're doing taxes, and I'm going to be sitting and waiting with my hands and legs crossed, waiting for you to finish your taxes, hoping that you're going to be able to go open micing with me so I don't feel all alone.
Oh, that's right. I want to go open micing.
Because you made an agreement. Certain rooms, you go with me to protect me.
Yes, I know.
It's not safe for me to be out there with all those handsy people. I'm definitely going to pop in. I want to pop in at least to the Ventura one. What's the name of that place? I always forget the name of it.
Gigi's.
I was going to say two letters, I guess. Yeah, it is Gigi's. Gigi. I'm going to pop in there, do a little time. I enjoyed my set last week, so I'll do it again.
I'm just going to reiterate. I know I mentioned this the other day. Cleanest floors in town.
Nice.
And I'm not being facetious. I'm being 100%.
If you want to know more about what Gigi's looks like on the inside, there's an Anderson Pack. It was a Modelo commercial, I think it was. It was Anderson Pack.
It's so clean. I would let my kids drop their fry and just go ahead and eat it from the floor, like pick it up and put it in their mouth. Like it'd be like, the floor is clean here. It's okay. Eat it.
It was so clean that you said, I can drink a Sprite off of this floor. Totally. And you slapped your Sprite one on the floor, but then you didn't drink it. Then you're like, I'm just playing.
Man.
I sat at the bar for the last time. For the last week when I went.
Yeah.
And I got a soda. Yeah, because I was sitting and watching the show.
Yeah, yeah.
She kept refilling my soda like crazy. I must have had 15 sodas.
Were you like super hyper? Were you bouncing off the wall?
No, I wasn't. But I thought it was kind of cool. Because remember last time it was like we went and you were like, well, it kind of stinks. I had to pay for a refill when I didn't even get to drink my first one.
Oh, she's getting us.
Oh,
back.
No, you said it would stink. We didn't actually do it. That's
yeah.
It but yeah, well, she took good care of me though. Good people over there.
I mean, I wasn't like super dressed up. Did I look like a preppy person or something? Like I didn't fit in there?
No, I don't think so.
Sometimes I get that feeling like people go, what are you doing in here?
Well, one thing about open mics and just comedy shows in general, it's easy to feel like you're the one that doesn't belong. Because you go in and there's these people, some of them been working on their act for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And they come out and they do it. And it might not be as polished as it should be for somebody who's doing it for 30 years, but it's polished to you. And you're like, oh my God, these people around here all are really good. And what am I? I'm just starting. I know all my flaws. I know how vulnerable I am and all that. Everybody kind of
feels similar. There was definitely some regulars in there. So when we popped in, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. The clicky thing can be weird.
Well, that's everywhere. Like that's in the dance world too. It's all good.
Yeah. So we'll get out there, we'll do some stuff, and, you know, we'll lead by example.
For sure.
We'll be good, positive audience
members. Oh, of course. I mean, it's not going to make me not come back. That never happens. Like, I don't... Makes me want to come back more when you're mean to me. I'm going to make you love me, I swear.
We need, like, two or three more really good mics. Just have, like, three or four mics a week where you could just drop in, do your time... Get your, you know, work out the things you want to work out and then go on your merry way and do your regular shows.
Yeah.
Because it's not always appropriate to try out new stuff on a real show. Like when you're getting paid, sometimes you should feel guilty for that.
I don't like when people do that.
Yeah, or they bring out a notebook on a paid show. Like,
Yeah, I think that if you are doing a professional show and it's not an open mic, I think definitely you should be off book. I just think it looks better.
Yeah.
Right? And if you have that security blanket behind you, you're going to go to it.
Yeah, you are. You are.
You know? And you're going to lose your space or your place. And so that's how it just how it works for me.
One of the toughest leaps in comedy is going from like that, you know, because you work really hard to get to a good 10 minutes. I think we've talked about that, your fire 10. And then, you know, to get your, to go on the road and to feature, you need to do 30 minutes. And it's really hard to stretch from 10 good minutes to 30 good minutes.
Right.
And so you end up trying all these different things where you're like just, you're like swimming out there. You're just mm-hmm. totally making things up. And it just takes a little while. I forgot where I was going with that. But
well, we were talking about how, you know, going to a show, like a, you know, working a real show and trying out new material. It's right. one thing to like try something new, which we've talked about, because I tend to get bored with what I'm doing. And yeah. then I kind of just put it, I don't put it aside, but I don't, I just get bored with it. And so I kind of want to like veto it and be like, no, I've done this enough. But I've been told by you and by Craig, like, no, you can try new things within your set. Like that's
yeah.
how you see if it works. But I prefer to try it at an open mic.
Yeah. Well, what I used to do, because that step from 10 to 30 was so tough, was I had a bit where I said, well, I have this poem that I wrote, and it was a really cheesy poem. I don't even remember it. It was like a roses are red, violets are blue, something a lot of comics do early on in their careers. And what I would do is I would open it up and I would read it. But what it had was it would have my bits that I had a tendency to forget. Mm-hmm. So I had just, not the whole bit, but it would just have like a little bit list. So it'd say, you know, I don't know, like, you know, teacher special place, you know, none yet, like whatever the list are, you know, the different jokes, but it would have those along the side so that yeah, I can go, all right, I'm not actually reading the poem. I have the poems memorized because it's stupid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like, I think that the punchline had something to do with crabs. I think that's how bad it was. I think it was roses are red, violets are blue. I have crabs, so now so do you, or something. It was something yeah. really bad like that. Yeah. But it was, I was early on in my, it was 15 years ago. And, but the real purpose of having the paper was to look at my cheat sheet and know what kind of stuff I had,
right.
had forgotten. And what was cool is I could go back and I could see stuff that I had forgotten from earlier. But then I knew what I was doing, and I knew that it was something I had to cycle out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, a lot of people get into that comfort zone. And they keep it there.
Well, yeah, and I think that I've seen that in some people where, like, I'll go to their show, and it's kind of, I've gone several times in support, but I feel like, okay, I know their set.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some people that do a little bit of this, and then they sprinkle new things in, and then they change it up, and then I'll go, oh my gosh, I've never heard that one. That's hilarious. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, there's always something new in there. I appreciate that, because then if it's the same exact
yeah.
verbatim every time, then I'm kind of like, okay, this is now it's like not a laugh, it's like a sympathy laugh, and I'm laughing.
Yeah. You're laughing rhythmically rather than naturally. You're like, oh, this is where I laugh.
Well, that's like, oh, I love this joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I'll laugh. But I'd like to see, you know, I want to see everybody do new stuff all the time. But that's just me, because that's what I want. And I get what I want. I'm just kidding. I know how hard it is. So I'm not saying like I have new stuff all the time. I don't. In fact, I know how hard it is to get it right, because mm-hmm. I've only gotten it right a couple times. So, I mean, I'm a work in progress myself. But yeah, when you keep it, like, I don't like to invite people to my shows every single time, especially if they've already come.
Yeah.
because then I'm like,
what gets weird
last time, and it's just I'm doing the same set.
It gets weird when they ask you, do you have any, if you invite somebody to a show, they're like, well, do you have any new stuff? Like, oh.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to start lying and going, I have new stuff. It's just sprinkled in. Be patient.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It's sprinkled.
Well, that's part of the evolution of your set, though. Like, you start, you have times where nothing changes for a little while, or the changes are really, really slow and like they're really a pain, but. Sometimes it happens and it's free flows and it's better. Yeah.
I mean, I would love it. And I feel like you and I kind of do this where we're just kind of always talking and finding humor and stuff, right? Like that's like, but these comics that are pulling out shows like every year on Netflix, it's like, do these people have writers? How does that work? Like, how are you so much of a genius?
It depends on who it is, but it does take a lot of effort. Most comics that are cranking out specials have multiple people working on their shows.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things when you see people who tour together and keep touring and they, you know, put out a special and they keep touring with the same people, those are people that are... At the very least, those are people that are inspiring them and helping them mm-hmm. see the world through a different lens that helps them write more stuff. And I think that's kind of what our journey as comics, especially when you have comics that you like to work with and be around. That's what it's all about.
I would love to one day have just enough money. Not one day. I'm gonna really put it out there so it comes sooner. Just hire somebody to just read my journals and highlight the funny stuff, because I don't want to go back and read through all of that.
All right, I'll do it. Give me your journals. All right, I'll do it. You don't even have to pay me.
It's like things that I find funny or just like rants or, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, none of it is really sad because I have a whole other journal for that. And it only comes out, it's got to be like a really, really, really sad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got to be like a, my heart hurts too much right now. I have to like just get it out and cry.
Yeah.
That's rare. That's only like a couple times a year.
I don't want to read that journal.
Yeah, you don't. Sounds like I got it pretty bad, but I don't. I got it pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that.
Oh, for sure. Like I don't read back in that journal, but we all have those days where we feel like irrelevant. And we feel like, what is my purpose? Or I'm not being good at everything I'm supposed to be doing right now. Or
yeah, that's one of the problems with this business is you can be one night, you can be performing and killing in front of 1,000 people. And the next day you could still have a car that's broke down and, you mm-hmm. know, nobody wants to help. Nobody wants to drive you to the airport right. and be like, oh.
Yeah.
So there's like there's almost like a falsehood about the stage part that really digs at your self-esteem if you're not careful about it.
Yeah. Totally. For you, it's a car. For me, it's like, why can't I lose these 10 pounds?
It's because we aren't walking. That's why.
I know.
Gotta walk. It's just been too cold. We both love sun on our skin.
I know.
And so when it's cold, it's like, I'm not walking. It's I don't like, get the double
yeah, it's
benefit.
Like, it's like a rigid sun. It's like sun with wind chill.
Yeah.
I might as well be skiing.
I don't know why the Juicy Fruit commercial just jumped in my head again.
Because you're an idea guy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think that's an important thing. Something that I really want to focus on in the next couple of weeks, really getting on like a plan as far as food and exercise, like just moving.
Oh man, I didn't want to start talking about this stuff. I want to talk about the journals more.
You want to talk more about the
journals?
I don't
want to talk about exercising.
Yeah, I know, but we got
to
do it.
No, but we do. We do. We have to do it.
We're going to be like a year from now, we're going to be touring and we're going to have to be like looking all kinds of fit because people are going to be like right now, we take pictures.
We're going to be on People Magazine and it's going to say, where did they come from?
If you see a picture of me and Roach, you'll see a picture of me and Roach and you'll be like, oh my goodness, that's a good picture. Well, we both looked at it 1,000 times And we went through hundreds of pictures where we didn't like other angles of ourselves. Well, once you get to that level, people are taking pictures from all angles. So we gotta tighten up.
Okay.
We gotta be good.
Paparazzi.
To go.
Yeah. I'm gonna be ready and waiting.
Yeah, I can't stress out because there's audience members sitting in my pregnant man angle. I can't stress out over that. Like, oh man, they post a picture, it's gonna look like I'm about to drop triplets.
Oh, stop. I saw a lady that looked like she was pregnant with triplets the other day.
Uh-oh.
And it was probably like 85 degrees out. And I'm not kidding. Like, this woman had to be pregnant. And beautiful, beautiful woman. And I knew she was pregnant because it was like 80-something degrees out. She looked like she was pregnant with triplets. She had all stretchy clothes on, black yoga pants, and this is where I knew she was pregnant. She had Uggs on. It was 85 degrees. And the reason pregnant women wear Uggs is because they're easy to get on and off, and they're actually wide enough for your foot.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Like, I lived in mine towards, like, probably the last trimester of my pregnancy, and it was spring.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to have to go get me some Uggs.
Spring?
Sometimes I have trouble getting shoes on and off.
And I'm thinking about it. Like, it was still fine. There was a time that I was wearing Crocs.
Nice.
And,
that's hot.
Yeah, Mr. Anderson was not having it. And they weren't, like, a cute pink or, like, they were poop brown Crocs.
Yeah.
And somebody had given them to me and I was like, oh, I don't think so. And then I put them on and I said, oh yes, I think so.
You can
These are
them, huh?
Amazing.
I've never worn a pair of Crocs. So I don't even know what it's like.
They're squishy and comfortable.
Oh, okay. I probably shouldn't.
It's like walking on a marshmallow with little tiny pegs that massage your feet with every little step you take.
Wow. Sounds like you're going in for the hard sell. That should be our new footwear, the official footwear of Big Tom and Roach.
Hey, the hip-hop artists are wearing them now. So
oh, are they?
I think so.
With or without socks?
With socks.
With socks.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it. I don't know if that's just something they wear when they're being parents on the field.
They're like...
But
Roach, why are you putting our business out there?
Yeah, one of them is going.
I was in a hurry.
One of them is going, bitch, I never wore Crocs. What are you talking about? Crazy bitch. Shut up.
We're going to walk out. They're going to all be standing there waiting. Hey, we got to talk to you. You're ruining our street cred with this Crocs BS. We don't wear Crocs and socks.
One of them's like, by the way, mine weren't Crocs. They were Balenciaga.
Is that a higher brand?
It's high end, but they were Crocs.
Yeah. Yeah, you know Crocs when you see Crocs.
Whatever you want to call them, whatever company Crocs gave their licensing to, a Croc is a Croc.
What's a Croc of
Shinola.
Who was it in my family that used to use that? I used to hear that phrase a lot.
Shinola?
No. The croc of...
That's a croc. That's a croc. What is a croc?
My favorite...
Like a crocodile?
I was thinking maybe crock pot.
Oh, okay.
Like it's a croc of... That makes more sense.
Kale.
Rather than a crocodile full of...
Right.
My grandma had a saying, anytime anybody acted stupid or grandpa said something racist, she'd go, takes all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
I love that saying.
I like that.
It's such a great saying.
Kirk said something really, really cool the other day. One of my sons got a timeout. What do you call it when you have to like get benched? He got benched? He got taken out of the game for a few minutes because he was being a little punky.
So he got pulled.
So he got pulled out. And my husband's coaching. And so the ref told him, I'm like, hey, take that kid out. He doesn't know he's our son. Mm-hmm. And Kirk says to him, he goes, what did you say? What did you do? And so I didn't hear what he said. I could just hear my husband because I was sitting on the stage. And he says, he goes, hey, man, you know what? You just need to, he goes, just keep your mouth shut. Just play the game. He goes, because guess what? The rain falls on the just and the unjust.
He watches too many sports movies. He's like, they're going to need me to say something really smart here.
It's so good because, yeah, you know, he's the coach and that's the son. And all the kids watched my son get it. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh.
Yeah. It actually worked out to be a good opportunity for coach.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And it looked like the parents were like, oh, is he saying that to Judah? And I'm like, yeah, it's all good. I said, he has to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good to learn those lessons early, yeah, too. Yeah, Tommy was a little bit of a, not a trash talker. He got to where he was kind of reacting. I said it because it was a kid that was talking trash one of his first days. And he reacted. He told them, he goes, the kid kept giving him crap. And then, I know I've told the story on the show before. And then he goes, what's wrong, kid? Don't you talk? And Tommy goes, I'm out here to skate, not to talk to you. And I told him, that's perfect. Use that whenever you want. I'm not here to skate, not to talk to you.
I'm here to skate, not to talk to you.
I'm here to play hockey. I'm here to play hockey, not to talk to you. And that's what he said. He goes, I'm here to play hockey, not to talk to you.
Dang.
Yeah. Dude was like, and left him alone after that. Yeah. And it was so funny because the kids are kind of.
Wow.
He's
serious though. It's like, I'm here to skate, man. Like,
well, he's trying to get better. He's really active. He was actively trying to get better. That. And I think the other kids their dads are all coaches. So they've been around it for a long time. Yeah. And so it was kind of like, oh, this is fun. And he's like, no, I actually want to get better. So you guys can go and you guys can play that little game inside the game. I'm too busy working.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the coaches all really liked him because he was like,
I'm working on my crossover. I want to make it tighter.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, and when he would skate, he would practice all the hockey moves.
I
said,
love it. Can he watch something that's on YouTube and kind of mimic it?
I don't know. He hasn't gotten to that yet where he's tried it that I know of.
I feel like I have a gift of mimicry. Mimic.
You're a great mimic.
I don't know if that's even a word. I was just trying. But I can't. I think I can. I think. Like if I study somebody or something long enough, like an animal even, I can do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a gift because I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'll pick up somebody's laugh if I hang around them too long. I'll start kind of laughing.
Oh,
like them,
yeah.
Which is kinda weird.
I do that too.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I feel guilty when I do that.
Do you ever go to another state and pick up their dialect?
I don't think so.
I do that when I go to New York, and I don't mean to do it, but then I'm like, it's so cool.
You just yell out more profanities.
Yeah, it's so cool there that I'm just like, I just want to be one of you, so I don't know how it's happening, but I just sound like a local, I think. I'm just kidding. No, but you know what does happen? What did happen when I was younger, I used to work for this DJ company, and the majority of the DJs and a lot of the dancers that were working for it came from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because that company had originated in New York, so they transferred dancers over into Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one guy who was from the Bronx, and he's like, Roach, what part of New York are you from? And I was like, I'm not from New York. And he goes, what? He totally thought I was from New York.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. Gotten that just a couple times, not too much. But when that does happen, I go, dang, am I that cool?
I'm hecka proud. It's better than them saying, are you from Boston? You sound like a clown sometimes.
Dang, bro. Am I that cool? Let's go.
Oh, my goodness. It's always funny when you work with a comic that's got some crazy accent. To me, accents that are different enough where you have to work to listen. I get really tired listening to somebody when I'm
do
like,
do you? Oh, when it's like, very thick.
Yeah. Even if it's like New York or North Carolina or something where it's like, I'm like,
yeah, you're like, I'm sorry. I have to ask again. What did you say?
It's already hard enough for me to listen to someone as it is. Add work into it to where I actually have to like try to figure out what the heck you're saying the whole time. That's a lot.
It would be nice if we could just all speak in standard American.
Yeah. Or if everybody had subtitles, that'd be good too.
That works. Then that means we have to read all day long.
How many movies have you gotten into and then saw the subtitles and they're like, all right, I'm out. I'm not reading.
My cousin took me to see Cyrano de Bergerac, the French version, many years ago. I think I was 12, and I think it was in black and white.
Wow, lots of wins there.
Oh my gosh. I sat down. I just wanted to be with my cousin because she was older and cool. Monica Vespi, if you're listening, I'm talking about you.
And she knows what you did by bringing her to that boring movie so you wouldn't want to hang out with her anymore.
But I read the whole thing, and it was a beautiful movie, but it was hard to read that fast. That was the one thing, too, which was like, I can't see what's going on and read all at the same time that quickly.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Because to me, I'm either looking at the words or I'm looking at the screen.
Yeah, then you have to like catch up. And go, wait, what did they just say? What's happening? Right?
Mm-hmm.
The same cousin took me to see Poltergeist 2 and Truth or Dare when I was 12.
Poltergeist 2?
Maybe 9.
Poltergeist 2?
On Poltergeist 2.
Poltergeist 2 had subtitles?
Well, maybe 10 on Truth or Dare. I don't remember, but no, those didn't have subtitles.
Oh, okay.
They were just inappropriate for me.
I'm like, wait, what?
So funny because she didn't want to go to the movies by herself, so she took her little cousin.
Hey, let's go. We're going to see the French version of Poltergeist.
Yeah.
It's where they move from the house the first sign of trouble.
Yeah. She loves going to movies. I think she still does. She's always been a movie buff. Movies are great. I like movies, but they have to be funny. Otherwise, I can't sit. Like, I can't do Star Wars.
Let's agree. Hour and a half is probably a good cutoff point. If you cut off
for
earlier than that, yeah, I'll give you. If you can cut the movie off, an hour and 15. Yeah, bonus points for that. If you can wrap up your whole story in an hour and 15 minutes, bonus points.
If I find out that your script is more than 92 pages long, ugh, I won't even go and watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done.
Yeah, what was it? Was it Avatar, the one that was like 3.5-4 hours long, and people are like, oh, you won't believe it.
I know.
I'm like, there's no way I'm watching that movie.
I know. I had friends that were like, you have to see it. And I said, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a 4-hour cartoon.
And they
cartoon.
Were like, but it's not. It's not a cartoon. It's a love story. I said, that is not winning points for me.
Yeah.
I do not like love stories.
Right?
They're so unrealistic and stupid.
I remember when Ben Affleck did Pearl Harbor, and I was so excited about it because I had been stationed in Hawaii and it came out not too long, like a 10, 15 years after I was stationed there. So I was like excited to see all the scenery, and then it's this long, boring love story. I'm like, oh, come on. Same thing with Titanic. Like, you take this great, like, you have a great movie. You have this giant boat sinking, and you're going to ruin it with love. Come on.
I do like that one because there's so many times to, like, talk through it and be like, what would you do? This is what I would do, right? Like, especially when, like, the boat, they're, like, actually in the water. Or, like it's going down and the people are, like, the orchestra is still playing and you're, like, can't help but, like, that moments like that, I'm laughing, like, what?
Yeah.
I'd be throwing babies out of those boats and, like... You know what I mean? Like, forget my tuba or whatever, my what is it called? The violin, maybe? What are those?
I don't know.
Oh, I was thinking of the...
Oh, yeah, the harp or the...
The harp, yeah. Forget about the harp.
Or your... what was the...
I wouldn't really throw a baby out. I'm being awful and severely, like, extra, but that's funny because that really happened.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You know what else really happened? I went to the movie Titanic by myself, and I was like, all right, this is going to be... All right, I'm going to check it out. Not realizing how long it was. This is before I really learned the whole look at the runtime thing.
Mm-hmm.
And did my typical thing. You know me, I drink a couple of gigantic sodas before I get out of bed.
Yeah.
I had to pee, and I had to pee really bad, and I was like, okay, the boat's sinking, so it's got to end any minute now.
Oh, no, no.
That boat sunk for another 2.5 hours after I had to pee. I eventually was like going, okay, I know how it's going to end. So if I run and pee and come back, is the boat going to be gone?
Right.
But it just took the entire movie for the boat to sink. So
yeah.
Yeah. I just remember that it was one of those weird things.
I still don't understand why Leonardo DiCaprio and her couldn't share the raft.
Because, you know, she needed space.
I still don't understand why he just didn't take someone else's raft.
Yeah, he seemed tough enough, right?
Just kidding.
It was a bizarre movie, though. And for people to love it, that's the problem. When people love it and they're all in, you're like, is this really where our expectations are? It's pretty.
Yeah. No, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I agree.
I can still watch parts of it. Parts. Ugh. I can't sit down there. I never even watched Dances with Wolves. This is supposed to be an amazing masterpiece too, but it's like I'd have to watch it over 3 days, I guess, because isn't that like 3 hours long?
No idea. I never saw it. Yeah. I'm assuming it's long because I didn't give it a chance.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The end of the movie made me so upset. And she threw that sapphire overboard.
Spoiler alert.
Or blue diamond or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Isn't that like it was a blue heart.
This is a little trivia question. A lot of people don't know this, but there was somebody that actually retrieved that and gave it to Britney Spears years later.
No way.
Yeah, it was chronicled in a music video.
Wow.
Do you remember that? Do you know what I'm talking about? It was really cheesy. There was like some dude gave her, it was like one of her first videos. He like gave her the thing and she's like, but I thought the old lady threw it off the boat.
Oh no. I think I do remember that.
All right. It would have landed. If you really remembered it, it would have landed better.
The early 2000s were so rad.
They really were. It was so much fun.
Late 90s, early 2000s. Like, is that like the last of the decades that actually has something like a new genre of pop music? Now I don't.
Yeah, now it's become just, maybe this is just us becoming old people.
Or maybe we need to look for the music that we think we might like, and maybe it's just not popular yet.
I feel like every generation is like, all in, we've got great music, then all of a sudden, hey, they stopped making good music. And I'm really scared to be that guy.
Well, Seriously, because so we're watching the halftime show.
Yeah.
Bring it up, because everyone that I know that's my age was like, dude, how freaking amazing was that show?
And could have done without Kendrick Lamar.
Right. But then didn't the same people that watch Fleetwood Mac do the show say the same thing? Like, dude. Whoa, what a great show. Fleetwood Mac is, you know, they're doing the halftime show. And I like Fleetwood Mac, but I was like, what?
How about Prince doing Purple Rain?
Yeah.
In the rain.
Did he?
Yeah.
Like natural rain?
Yeah.
Or they made it rain?
No, Purple Rain in the rain.
I don't remember that. But listen, and so this time I was like, yeah, it was great. And then I thought, wait, am I those Fleetwood Mac people?
Yeah, right? I don't know. I think that it was a beautiful halftime show this year.
It was great.
I think it reminded me, for me, it reminded me of all the great adventures that I had at that younger age in my 20s.
Oh, sure.
Because that was what was playing in my car. That's what was in my car. That was at the parties,
when
right?
You were ditching school.
They should have got Warren G to come out there and sing Regulate.
Dude. I heard he was too expensive.
He was more expensive than Dre? I don't think so.
I'm kidding. I'm sure there was actually a lot of rap artists that were feeling left out.
I think Warren G might DJ now. I think.
I don't know.
I think he DJs. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Warren G was... I'm pretty sure that he was another one that was... He did a show after one of my comedy shows. I waited around and he got there really late. So I didn't, I ended up leaving before he got there. Oh. DJ Quick too. It happened a couple times with Quick. And I love Quick. I actually paid to go see Quick back in the 90s.
I can't say I went to many concerts. I went to Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza. Which one's that?
It was kind of like the Coachella of its day. I don't even know if they still do it.
But, it was like an MTV, right?
I don't even remember. No, I think it was the guy from Jane's Addiction produced the show, I think. Oh, man, I can't remember his name right now. Anyway, that was a good show. It was a fun day. And that's, I went to a music festival that had Tom Petty in it a couple years ago before COVID. Yeah, there were some good bands, but.
That's a good that Won't Back Down is a good song to like get you fired up to do some work. Like,
I don't know.
No,
it's too slow.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
See, when I listen to music to fire me up, I don't listen to the music to like because you know how you listen to workout music.
Yeah.
You have the boom, 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 and that's where your rhythm
is. Yeah.
Sometimes I look at music now more as like a walkout song.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
It's leading up to the moment where I'm going to go and start. So it kind of fires me up. Right. I think that's a good walkout song where you're like, all right, nothing is going to
totally
get in my way right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's work music for me. Like work on my computer music. But mm-hmm. if like I need to get stuff done, like clean my house and like I have to do something and I have to do it at a good pace.
Yeah.
I like salsa music, Latin jazz will, you know, keep me going.
My go-to is like R&B. I like to listen
and
to
R&B. I like that too.
I put it on Stevie Wonder on iHeart, which we're also on, right along with Stevie Wonder.
I love it.
iHeartRadio, I'll put on Stevie Wonder and it just, you know, the playlist, they put other artists on too, obviously, but you can't go wrong with Stevie Wonder.
No.
He will get you cleaning your
house. No, you can't. And you can't go wrong with Ray Charles either.
No, Ray Charles is good.
Something about those sunglasses that they wear.
I listen to the sunglasses channel on iHeartRadio.
They're magic.
It's just something about that when music had, you know, actual bands, like they had actual instruments behind like
it's
them.
It's live. There's no synthesizers. There's no things that make your voice sound robotic.
Yeah.
That was when
I started to lose interest in Cher, was when she started doing the in Believe where she had the whole robotic like rah, rah, rah. I'm like, oh man.
Well, she's gotta keep up with the youth, I guess.
All heroes don't wear capes, but I'm pretty sure Cher wears capes.
I'm pretty sure she does too. Yeah.
Me and Ralphie snuck backstage, but we chickened out. We didn't go all the way to her locker room. There was like arrows going, Cher, on the floor to say where she was supposed to go. But I freaked out. I was like, oh, I got to get out of here.
I wonder what she would do if like some two randos were like, hi, Cher, we're here because we're big fans.
I know, right? What would she do?
Did you sign her heads on our head?
My fear was going to be who... That was a play on words. My fear was somebody seeing me other than Cher that just had me tossed out. It was a good concert. Like when I look back, because it was at the MGM Grand, Cyndi Lauper was like the feature act. So Cyndi Lauper comes out crowd surfing right before Cher came out. The opening act was a group called Wild Orchid, which I don't expect you to have heard of. But there was a one Miss Fergie Ferg on that group at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Fergie Ferg went on to be with Black Eyed Peas
and
do her own joint.
Yeah. What happened to her?
I don't know. She's still around. She married that Josh Duhamel guy and was like, hey, I like being married. I don't need to wiggle my butt every 10 minutes.
Well, she's been doing it since she was a tiny little girl.
She's so good, too.
Yeah. I used to watch a show that had her on it. Was it Kids Incorporated? Is that what it was?
Fergie was on that? Wow.
I think so. Yeah, nice. I used to watch it Saturday mornings, maybe. Something like that.
Huh.
Kids Incorporated. K-I-D-S Incorporated.
I don't remember that one. Is that a PBS thing?
I think that's how it went. No, I don't think it was PBS.
I remember Kids Incorporated. I just don't remember where it was at.
No, and they like whoever dressed those kids, whoever did the wardrobe on that show, did a really good job. And whoever was like art designing it, I just remember watching it for that.
Now, do you ever get nostalgic and go back and watch some of those old shows or like old like you can get old commercial blocks from the 80s?
Guess what I watched last night at 3 o'clock in the morning?
What?
Dallas.
Oh, really?
I did. It came up on my feed on Amazon. I was like, oh, I remember watching this with my mom. And I put on the first episode.
Isn't that amazing how those some of the music and stuff will still hit you in the same spot? You're like, wow, that's still there. Yeah.
Well, they're clothes. I love watching things just for like, it's nostalgia. So I'll say, you know, like they were in their sitting room and I'll say, why did they stage it the way they did, mm-hmm. right? Like they had old Victorian furniture in the back, and then, but the actual couch they were sitting on was very contemporary for that time. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought,
Larry Hagman didn't like his butt hurting.
Yeah, it was funny. I wonder if that was the pilot. And then it just, maybe it gets better because they're supposed to be like super rich.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then I thought, I don't like the way that room looks. I like certain pieces, but I don't like the way it's put together. The clothes was fantastic. Look at me commenting on Dallas, the first episode.
And it is interesting once you get past the pilot, because it could be just a completely different show, yeah. episode two, because back then pilots were just rolled out no matter what they ended up like.
Yeah. But I loved everything that they wore. I was like, oh, I'd totally wear that today.
Remember, they used to air pilots, and then the second episode come back and like half the cast would be different.
Yeah, totally. Like,
when did Urkel get here? Yeah. How do we have a neighbor named Urkel?
Remember Roseanne's daughter? Like, they just went back and forth like two times?
Yeah, three Becky. Times? Yeah,
Becky.
It was all kind of Becky's. It was Becky 1, Becky 2, Becky 1 again. And then Becky 1 and 2, I think, were on the newer show before they fired Roseanne. And yeah.
I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, that was weird.
Was that like the beginning, real beginning of cancel culture?
It was definitely a big part of it. It was definitely one of those, you're not saying what we want to hear, so we're getting rid of you.
That's too bad.
Yeah. And then they really made it every effort they could to make her seem like a crazy lady, which maybe she is.
Well,
I don't know.
She is, but like, yeah. Seriously, like, who isn't a little crazy?
Yeah. We all a little crazy.
I mean, geez. It's not like she, as far as I know, she had kind of a little bit of a tough life. So.
Yeah. And she was one of those comics that worked and worked and worked and did all those crappy road gigs to get to where she was at. And I think it was, I really. Okay, if it hurts your feelings, if you're so butt hurt that you can't work with her anymore, then how about we just cancel the show? Not let's get rid of the woman who created the show. The show's named after. Let's get her out and make it real. We're going to kill her off. And we're all going to talk crap about her. It was really, the way they handled that was really rough.
Honestly, I still, and people will probably go, oh my gosh, I can't believe she said that. But I'm just going to say it. I still don't, I don't understand the whole even like canceling of friendships over who people voted for.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's essentially what it was. And it turned into, you know, I can't work with somebody who would do that.
Right.
You know? And so I saw one of those Facebook posts where everybody like replies, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know where they come from. I'm assuming they come from Facebook, and they're doing it to make people kind of be more social again instead of being so cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
But so it said, if you can get rid of anything in the world, what would it be? And someone wrote MAGA. And I went,
that's not divisive.
Oh my gosh. And you know, the people that write it are people that you know.
Yeah.
And then you kind of go, seriously? Like, you have that much hate in your heart for people that voted for their party?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because essentially that's what it was.
Yeah, it was people that were, I view it as people that were fed up as well.
People that are fed up, yeah. And people that, but a lot of those people are people that are, again, I want my team to win.
Right.
Right. But I don't know. I just, like, I never really followed politics before until probably, I've said this before, the last 4 years. And it's because I want to figure out where we've gone wrong, aside from the fact that, you know, we're hiring people that are from reality shows. Like, how does that happen? In a sense, like, I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's this character, mm-hmm. right? And he always has been.
Mm-hmm.
He He's never not been who he is.
Yeah, that was the weird part.
He's always, yeah. If you look at his press throughout the years, it's never great press.
Yeah, he's always been a kind of abrupt commercial or not industrial real estate.
Yeah. And like even
thinking guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and even just with like his marital relationships and those kinds of things, it's been out there like this big saga, this big Donald Trump saga, mm-hmm. who's always spoke his mind.
Yeah.
Right. He was like that on his show.
Right.
And so then now he's in the White House and people are like, well, he's not White House material. Well, why not? Well, because of the way he talks. Well, in my eyes, I kind of go, I get it.
Here's what the true thing is.
But
he can't be president. You know why? Because we know too much about him. If you knew as much about these other people that you knew about him, guaranteed you'd feel the same way.
I just don't understand where the surprise was.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, why are you surprised? Like, how many decades has he been in the paper? Like, why are we all so surprised and hating each other over it? You know what I mean?
And then why are you surprised when he responds to media in, you know, the petty ways or the, you know, the ways that he does? Well, why would that surprise you if you have seen the way he is? Yeah.
So, anyways, that I think was a turning point for me when I saw that and I went, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people that are good people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'll tell you, people of all, what's the word I'm looking for? Genes,
mm-hmm.
races,
yeah,
backgrounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of small business people.
Yeah. A lot of people of a lot of different sexual preferences.
Yep. And they like the guy. And so I'm not saying I like him or dislike him. I do think he's funny.
You don't have to have him help you raise your kids.
Yeah.
Like you don't, like you just have to say, okay, this guy's going to try to make the right decisions when it comes to policies. And he's going to try to like not get us into a war. He's going to try, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what you have to do. Like, you're not hiring a babysitter.
Right.
You're just not.
But when you kind of go, well, I'm not really into what they want to do. And somebody goes, well, just so you know, if you vote for him, you might as well just say you're a Nazi. And then you're like, man, I was just saying, like, I'm not for what the other dude wants to do either.
I was at a Dallas Cowboys camp waiting in line, my car to go in. We had like this was many years ago. It's just a waiting line to go in before training camp had opened up. And this guy come up to my car and he asked me, he goes, are you voting? Like trying to be intimidating. And I said, I haven't really thought much about it yet. And he goes, well, you realize if you vote for Trump, he's going to come get me and he's going to send me to Mexico. And I was like, what? And I go, where were you born? I was born in Oxnard. And I was like, you were born in Oxnard and Trump's going to come pick you up and put you and send you to Mexico? And he goes, yeah, that's what he wants to do. And I was like, well, I guess I can't vote for him then. I was going to sit and argue with the guy.
Right.
I was like, all right, I guess I won't vote for him then.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Not that it was just one of those really bizarre things. I'm going, okay, so where is that coming from? How many people believe this?
Right. Well, I think the whole Charlottesville thing was a big, big push. And I had somebody... I didn't know. I didn't watch the whole thing. I was kind of like, wow, that is kind of that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone sent me the entire link,
mm-hmm.
like the link with the whole like conference. And then I went, oh, wow, they just took out that whole other part that he says before and after.
Yeah.
And so, when people would bring that up, I'd kind of go, it's actually, have you seen the whole, you should watch the whole press conference. And the part that bugs me the most is people go, I don't need to. And I go, well, I think it's important for you to watch the whole thing because it's.
Well, at the very least, context is going to make you less upset.
Well, guess what the usual thing is, like, I don't have time to watch a whole press conference.
Mm-hmm. You need to do your research. I don't have time to watch the press conference.
And it's like... it's actually kind of important because it's really being used a lot, and it's not, what they're showing us isn't completely 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the answers, like, I don't need to do that, and I don't have time to watch the whole conference. And it's like, well, I hate to tell you, but whatever news you're watching is messing with your head.
Yeah, I don't have time to watch the conference, but I do have time to argue with you, right? Isn't that pretty much it?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me to read a book now, biatch.
Little Willie Green from New Orleans, a greedy boy was he. He always liked a lot of kids around just to keep him company. One day his ma bought him a jelly roll, the best cake that was made. And when the kids began to hang around, little Willie said, I ain't gonna give nobody none of this jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. My ma told me today, when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring me a toy. I'm my mama's pride and joy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the time you die. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, cause I ain't gonna give you none. Jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. My ma told me today, when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring me a toy. I'm my mama's red eye boy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the time you die. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, 'cause I ain't gonna give you none.